Sometimes when we look at the landscape of what's happening in our world and culture, it's easy to, if you focus in on that, to get disheartened. Sometimes we forget how the story actually ends. And over the next number of weeks, we're going to travel through the scriptures to see some things to come. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, I'll read it to you. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." The Bible says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, and thank you for the things that we've heard. Thankful for the truths that were proclaimed already in this building tonight. And as we open up your word, may we honor and glorify you with what will be said. God, in our hearts, may they be challenged. May we be strengthened in our faith. Lord, I pray you'd meet the needs that are here tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The word rapture does not show up in your Bible. I'll be truthful right there. But the concept and the thought does. In a moment. How long does the rapture take? But a moment. How long's a moment? It defines it for us. In the twinkling of an eye. Is that a blink? I don't know what that is. I have written in my Bible, the twinkling. Someone must have said it, clocked it. I don't know. Mark Rober probably did it. I don't know. Twinkling of an eye is 11 one-hundredths of a second. The rapture. At any moment, the Lord could call the church out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says this: "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." And he says this: "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Oftentimes when we talk about the rapture, it is a point of maybe fear in our hearts. And the Bible says, hey, this ought to be a comfort to you. Why? Because at any moment, we could be face to face with our Savior. Mrs. Bayer spoke of tonight of just the abundant life through Christ, but there's one thing better, and that's heaven. So how long does it take to get to heaven? A moment. So how is that possible? I don't know. I'm going to let the Lord work out logistics, but I'm going to just believe what it says. Yeah. At any moment, the rapture of the church could happen. Regrettably, too many Christians honestly believe that because Christ is coming again to the earth, believers don't need to take any active role in society. I'm just going to sit back and wait until Jesus comes. Well, I'm here to tell you that the disciples thought he was coming. See, the rapture of the church is the calling out of the church to God in the air. It's different than Second Advent. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. There's a phrase, maybe you've heard it: no need to polish the brass on a sinking ship. And sometimes we approach Christianity as that. This world is going down, I'm just going to sit back and hold tight till Jesus comes. I don't think that would be what the Lord... So you got Bible on that? Matthew chapter 25 tonight. Matthew chapter 25. I think we should be waiting actively for the Lord. waiting actively for the Lord. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. Matthew 25, 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." I feel like that's me. God came by and he said, "I've got something great for you. Can you take care of it until I come back?" See, what is that? That is the gospel and the truths of the word of God. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." So the master comes, he's got 5 talents. It's not like being able to play the violin. A talent is a measure of resource. It's a financial measure. "And to one he gave 5, and to another he gave 2, and another he gave 1, and he goes on his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents, verse 16, went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And I feel like God has entrusted us with the gospel as he has left. He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit of God to work in the hearts of men. And he says, "Here, I'm going to entrust you with this, but I expect something when I come back. I do not want you to just sit around and wait for me." Is that not the nature of this parable here? "And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went," listen now, "he went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." This is the guy that says, "I'm not doing anything. I don't want to lose what I got. I'm just going to sit right here and hold on until the master comes back." Well, the master does come back. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them, he says. "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. Saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' And his Lord said unto him," listen now, "well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I wonder, when the rapture of the church happens and we're standing before God and no more preparation, it's not like we get an email, "Hey, in 1 week you have to pay your car insurance. Don't let this lapse." Don't, you know, they send you those emails. They get on you. They tell you these things. They warn you about it. And when it shows up, hey, we ought not to be surprised. We ought to be preparing for these things. We ought not to be just sitting back and waiting for the Lord to come. We don't get an email, so we ought to be being active as we are. Hey, when I stand before the Lord, know what I want to hear? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Is that what's going to happen? I don't know. But he certainly gives us same thing happens with the man that got 2. What happens to the man that took 1 talent, went and digged and buried? The Lord was disappointed. "I expected something when I returned." Hey, I'm going to ask you, are you busy about the Lord's work? Are you using the gifts, the abilities, the resources until the day when he returns? We have no excuse to not serve the Lord. He has given us abundant riches, seeped in his mercy, seeped in his grace. Not based on us, based on him. And he said, "Now go take this and go do something with it." If we're just going to sit back and just, "Well, I'm just going to keep what he gave me until the Lord comes back," I think we're missing out. I think we're mishandling the talents that, according to this passage, he could come back any moment. Say, do you think he's going to come back today? Hey, the right answer would be yes. We ought to live like that. Yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We just have a few points here tonight, but I pray that it touch your heart. Hey, when we get focused in on us, we get all out of sorts. I'm here to tell you that. When we focus in on what is it that makes us comfortable, what is it that I want, what is it that I want to do, those priorities are off. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says that we should be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we get our eyes off the large picture, the big picture, the eternal picture, the eternal timeline of things, and we get focused in on just this, what's happening around me right now, and lose sight of the things to come, we make poor decisions as Christians. I want to remind you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, wherefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Watching for what? For the Lord's calling us home. You know, look at 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 8, 2 Timothy 4, 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, it told us to comfort one another with the thought of the rapture. My mom used to use it as a scare tactic. Thank you. We'd be messing around in the back seat of the car. You ask Rhonda. This is real. We'd be messing around in the back seat of our little Chevy Chevette. That was small. Then she went to the Chevy Spectrum. I mean, they're both one and the same. They're small cars. We're small people. We only need small cars. And we start messing around back and forth in our trips to Buffalo. We had family in Buffalo. And all of a sudden, she'd be like, oh, what was that? What, Mom, what? Oh, I just thought I heard the trumpet. I thought it was the rapture. Look at those clouds there. You think the Lord's coming back there? And you know, at 10, 11, your eyes are like, She was not using it to comfort one another with those words. But man, it got us watching, because the truth is, it could be any moment. And we ought to live our life like the imminent return of Christ is right now. I'm going to ask you right now, just evaluate in your life, are you ready to stand before God? Hold on, let me go dig up my talent. What have you done for him? Hey, this isn't a guilt trip. This is just the reality that Christ could come back today. 2 Peter chapter 3, the imminent return of Christ. Nothing's left. It could be today. Say, that would send this world into complete chaos. We'll talk about that next week. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and for a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, it says this. Hey, if you're watching for that, he encourages the reader here, be diligent, that ye be not found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. He says, hey, would stay clean. Stay right. Are you watching for him? Are you ready to meet God? Hey, you know, I want to do some things in life. I want to get some things done. Hey, would you forget your plans and just work on serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he could come back any moment. I want to show you this, Revelation chapter 1. Look at Revelation 1:8. And studying for this, I saw a new light on this verse, Revelation 1:8. The Bible says, I am the Alpha and Omega. Anybody ever hear this verse before? Sure. I am the Alpha and Omega. What does that mean? The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, look at now, and which is to come, the Almighty. You know what that is? That's a promise. That's not a threat. That's a promise. I am coming back. He's coming, which is to come. Are you looking diligently? Are you expecting that at any moment? Ready, watching, preparing. I want you to evaluate your life. I want you to look at that. Have you lost sight of the truth that God could call the church out at any moment? Revelation chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I turned right, I said it wrong. Appreciate your grace tonight. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Verse 8, we read this verse this morning. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. True? Hey, we're a mess. Isaiah, even in your pure little heart, you're a mess. You don't have a pure heart? That's Lydia. All right, Lydia's got a pure heart. At our worst moment, the Lord died for us and redeemed us. Saved us. Yes? Verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Look at what it says. We shall be saved from wrath through him. We understand the wrath of God here. We understand the context of it here. We understand that this is speaking of the wrath of denying the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal damnation. But there's a precedent set here also. That God and his people saves them from his wrath. I want to show you this. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, kind of a Bible study tonight. See, that's a loud Bible study. I'm sorry. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't design the Christian to experience God's wrath. You understand that? The world creates wrath. There's some things that man has done to mankind that is awful and wicked and wrong. It's called sin and the consequence of sin. One day that's all going to be gone. One day we're going to walk the streets of gold and we're going to have mansions and the light of that place is the glory of God and we'll be able to worship and it'll be all right. There'll be no more tears, no more dying, no more sickness. But until then, we are living in the consequence of sin. But God says he's also saved us from his wrath. And as a child of God, I believe that to the fullest. I believe that I'm not going to taste, there's nothing I could do to taste the flames of hell. The Bible says in verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Look at verse 11. If this sounds familiar to you, wherefore comfort yourselves together. Sounds like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, similar thoughts. He says, I got a comfort for you. You are going to miss out on not wrath, but God's wrath. Revelation chapter 6. The key to missing God's wrath is what? Salvation. So I don't want to experience God's wrath. I mean, I had a mom who was mad, a dad who got upset, and I saw wrath. You have never seen wrath like God's wrath. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17 says, for the great day of his wrath is come. Same wording. And who shall be able to stand? When God pours out his wrath, you're not making deals. You're not weaseling your way out of that. God says, I'm going to save you from my wrath. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to the rapture. I'm looking for the rapture because, number one, it could be at any moment. Number two, it saves me from his wrath. There's a characteristic, a character trait of God. He always offers deliverance before his judgment. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned with them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. That's a good example, right? Hey, just remember, if you choose to go against the things of God, what we do here, God says. The Bible says, in the midst of all of that destruction, in the midst of the wickedness, there was a man there. And the Bible says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with his filthy conversation of the wicked. He wasn't a good man. You read Genesis. He was a mess. But he delivered him out. See, God makes an opportunity to get out of his wrath. When he pours out his wrath, there's an opportunity to get out. For the righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. So how's God going to get us? God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Say, how's God going to sort all this out? God knows how to do that, it says. It's on his resume. He's able to do that. Let's look at some of these. Look at Revelation, or Genesis chapter number 19. Remember that before God's judgment comes, there's an opportunity. Genesis chapter number 19. Did I say Genesis? Good, okay. Genesis 19 and verse 15. When the morning arose, here's what happens. This is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels, God sends angels to Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities, to get Lot out of there. He's mocked of his family when they say, hey, God said we got to get out of here. Made fun of. Lot does not live a clean life. He's not living, but God is God's getting the righteous out. And the Bible says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. They told him, they said, tomorrow we're going to destroy the city, and he spends the night there. If God came and told me, Hamlin's going to be a crater tomorrow, well, what's tomorrow? Like 12:02 a.m. or like, do I have time? Like, can I like go to Cronies one last time and get pizza? Do I have time to return my cans and bottles to the? Hey, if God says this place is about to be wiped out, get out of there. And it says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Get out, because God's wrath is coming. Verse 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being, look at now, merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Got him out of the city, and then boom, that thing came down. God's going to pour out his wrath, called the Great Tribulation, upon this earth. Before that, he will take his out. Happens in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13. Genesis 6:13 says, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. See, there was wrath going on, but God's about to pour out his. And he says, I need to get you out of here. Make thee an ark. See, God is able to take the godly and separate them from the ungodly. He's able to do that. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without the pitch. Turn over to chapter 7 and verse 16. It says this, and they went in. Went into what? An enormous boat. and it started to rain, and there was pounding at the door. But the Lord shut him in, it says, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You know what? One day, there's going to be tribulation upon this earth, and they're going to say, get us out of here, and that time has passed. The imminent return of Christ, spared from God's wrath, as He provides deliverance. I want to show you another example of this, Joshua chapter number 2. Joshua chapter number 2, in verse 18, the story is this. Joshua is going to defeat the city of Jericho. God has given his hand a blessing, and God's wrath is going to come down on this place. But there was one that he found grace and mercy with, someone you wouldn't expect, Rahab the harlot. She hides the spies in her house, and she says this, behold, when we come into, in the med sent unto her, look at verse 17, we will be blameless of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. They make an agreement. She says, get me out of here, because I've dealt kindly with you. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. Scarlet thread. I'm sure the scarlet has no indication of the blood of Christ. Shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Sure enough, in chapter 6, look in chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6. So here's what happens. The spies come in. She hides the spies and she says, because I have helped you, I believe in your God. Will you get me out of here? And they said, make sure you have this red thread hanging out. Hey, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, we need the blood of Christ to wash us clean. Amen. That's the only thing that... Say, oh no, how much did one of those tickets cost? Mrs. Wando and Mr. Wando got stuck in Philadelphia. Is that where you were? Approximate 6-hour travel car ride. How much were the tickets to fly from Philadelphia to Rochester? $2,000 a ticket. Some people were buying it because they had to get home. All right, Lord, how much is that rapture ticket? The blood of Jesus Christ. How are we saved from the wrath of God? It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. Why? Because God's wrath is about to come down. Get her out of there. It's the character trait of God. He offers deliverance before His judgment. As we continue reading the passage, we'll finish it. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. Sounds like she did a better job than Lot. As I read the account of who was in Lot's house and who got out of Lot's house, that was not the same. It sounds like more people were in Rahab's house. And all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city which with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. You understand that Joshua is a type of Christ. Rahab's just like you and I, sinners that need to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He saved you and I, just like He saved Rahab from His judgment. Rapture of the church is going to happen. Say when? Any moment now. Are you watching? Are you praying for it? Are you ready for it? Are you looking for it? Are you diligent? Again, are you ready? Are you expecting it at any moment? Please remember that it is God's wrath that's going to be poured out, but He offers deliverance. Say, how do I get out of that? I don't want to miss out on that. That's one ticket you do not want to miss. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the reality. One day it will be the last message. One day it will be the last day before the rapture. Is it today? I don't know. But we ought to live like it is. We ought to approach every day like this could be my last day. Does that mean we max out the credit cards? No, that means we go tell everybody. That means we're like Rahab and we get as many people in that house as possible to be saved. Because the rapture can happen at any moment. The Holy Spirit says, I'm going to hold it off until I say. But it's when He says, not me. If anybody says, here's the date of the rapture, they're lying. You just know it's not that date. But it could be any day. And we ought to live every day like it could be that day. There ought to be a fervency, a diligence about our Christianity that the Master is going to return. And there'll be no time left then. Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumps shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, and will forever be with the Lord. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight. Could I encourage you to be a faithful witness? Live in each day like it could be your last. Again, not abusing that, but seeing the urgency, seeing the having that long-term view of heaven is right around the corner. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. God, thank You for these reminders that are in our Scriptures. God, as we Lord, I pray that we'd be ready. I pray that we would be ready for Your return at any moment. God, that we would be watching and that we would be like Rahab, trying to get as many people in as possible before judgment comes. Lord, help us to be faithful with these things. Lord, if we lived a life that we've taken our talents and just hid them, Lord, help us to dig that thing up and go use the resources that You've blessed us with and go tell everybody we can. Lord, I ask You, watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. And Lord, we look forward again to the day when we can see You face to face. Lord, help us to be found faithful till You come. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.